Okay. Our next talk is going to be about BPF as a revolutionary technology for the container landscape by Daniel Borkman. He's one of the BPF kernel maintainers. And let's start it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the introduction. And it's really great to see so many people here that the room is fully packed. So first off, I want to start with the container landscape. It's, I guess, obvious to everyone that containers exist for a long time. But like, how do the production deployments look like? And I found a nice usage report from Systic folks where they looked into various aspects. And I picked out three points from there. One is that I found very interesting and as a trend. And one is the lifetime of a container. And we can see here that there's a continuously decreasing lifetime. Many of the containers seem to run, as you can see here on the chart, for 10 seconds or less. And that basically doubled over the last year. And that trend seems to be increasing. The other thing is how many containers are running on a, I hope you can see the numbers good here, how many containers are running on one single node. And that number also has doubled from the last year, and now it seems to be 30 as a median. And the last one, I guess it's pretty obvious, but what is the main orchestrator if you deploy containers? And that's Kubernetes. So if you include OpenShift and Rancher here as well, then it's 89%. So that's quite vast majority. And as a common denominator, as a common base platform for all of this is, of course, the Linux kernel. And it has to provide all the building blocks that we know for the isolation in terms of namespaces. So you have various namespaces, network namespaces. Recently, time namespace got merged into the kernel. And also for resource management, which is done through the C groups. It has to provide the network connectivity in case of the network namespaces. It's either through Weave devices, IPVLAN devices, or various others. And security policies that you can implement and that can be done in terms of Linux security modules or firewall policies and so on and so forth. And all of this also has to withstand all the increasing scalability needs and the higher churn frequencies of containers, while also coping with the subsystems that exist for a very long time in the kernel, for 10 years or more, and that have been designed back then. And of course, the Linux kernel has the paradigm of never break user space. So all of this has to still keep working while you optimize all of it. And just to pick out two examples in networking. So there's TC and IPTables NetFilter. They both have been designed long ago. And they're both generally extensible. But at the same time, their framework is inflexible for today's needs because in case of TC and the IP tables, like the whole processing pipeline is part of the API contract with user space. For example, TC has classifiers and actions. You can load them, and you really have to specify how the packet is processed. If it doesn't hit this classifier, then you create another classifier instance. And if it matches this, then you have to go through this action. And similarly with IP tables, you basically, in the worst case, end up traversing like a linear list of rules that you have. And yeah, so if it's getting really complex, then basically it slows down your fast path because it's sitting right in the middle of it. And system software today basically has to support the right range of kernels because people in production are running old kernels or the latest kernels. Ideally, we would love that everybody's running the latest stable, but that's like not always the case, and then basically you end up baking policy in like deeply into your code base, and there's significant effort if you want to rewrite it. Just a random pick in libnetwork, it basically encodes the arguments for later on shelling out to IP tables, and it's not really great. And I found this KCD where it says, yeah, to itself, to the future self, if you want to fix it, you have to rewrite it. And it's kind of creepy, but yeah. Not only libnetwork, but also Kubernetes relies a lot on IP tables, specifically for its service implementation through kubeproxy. And there are also issues in terms of scalability. So some of them are, for example, low and unpredictable packet latency.